Hello, good afternoon, ladies of No BS. I am Coach Lizzie, and we are here for the maintenance call. Lisa's here. This is fantastic. Send me a note in the chat. Let me know that you're here. By the way, put your chat to everyone instead of just hosts and panelists so that everyone can see your glorious chats. Yay. We've got Gina's here and Andrea. Fantastic. All right. Happy February 22nd. It's 222. That's an angel number if I ever saw one, right? If anybody knows the meaning of 222, I would love to put it into the chat because, like, I'm all into angels, love angels. I'm not super woo, but I'm like into it. So I'm like, I don't know, I'm like adjacent woo. So if anybody knows what 222 is supposed to signify, let me have it. I would love to. All right. So, hi, everyone. Today's our maintenance coaching call. So this is live coaching. If anybody would like to raise their hand to be coached, I'm so looking forward to talking to you about it. But I have a couple of thoughts I wanted to share real quick, which is if you are listening to this on a replay and you're like, maintenance is not for me because I'm not there yet. I still have 5, 50, 100 pounds to lose. I don't care. Come join us in the maintenance Facebook group. You know why? Because nobody wants to just lose weight. You want to live at a lower weight. And I want everyone to start thinking about what does it mean for me to think about living at a lower weight now, even though I still want to lose weight, because it's a kind of a shift in identity. And I would be willing to bet that for years, if not decades, you have had the identity of someone who is trying to lose weight. And that's not your fault. That's like diets have taught you that. You've been working on that for a long time. But in order to be the person who lives at a lower weight, you need to shift into, instead of this is what I'm doing to lose weight, it's this is how I live my life. And because what you do to lose weight is what you do to maintain that lower weight. And so I would love for you to come join us in the maintenance Facebook group, hang out with me on our Facebook Lives, and just start thinking about what is a maintenance mindset? What is that identity of somebody who's in maintenance, even if you still want to lose weight? Okay, and some people are telling me about the number 222. Okay, this is so fun. Angel number symbolizing balance, harmony, and trust in the universe's timing. Yes, God's divine timing. This is considered a sign to maintain patience and nurture relationships. What a great day this is. And 222 is happening in Christy's life right now. Can't wait to share. Oh, what a tease. Thanks, Christy. Can't wait to hear about that. Balance, harmony, and trusting the universe's timing. Yay for divine timing. I love that. Okay. So, there was one other thing I wanted to share with you. One of the things, Julie, I don't know if this is the Julie I want to talk about, is listening from her iPhone, but Julie Coleman, our fabulous and amazing Julie Coleman, who's been a No BS woman for a minute, gave me this great analogy. So, real quick, and then we're going to get to Kimberly for coaching. And anybody else, please raise your hand for coaching. It is the Julie on the turnpike. All right. Well, quick testing, or sorry, quick quit texting and drive, my dear. But the amazing and fabulous Julie Coleman told me this. Before I retired, what motivated my students in speech was stickers. They got stickers for a paper well done, for doing their homework, and for being good in speech. But the goal of going to speech was not to get the stickers. It was to improve their speech and or language skills so that they could communicate effectively with others and ultimately improve their lives. You're sensing an analogy here? Yeah, here it's coming. The goal of trying to lose weight is not to see the number on the scale. What? It is not directly related to wearing that pair of jeans that have been waiting in your closet since college. It's to improve the quality of your life as you define it. So the number on the scale is just one of the tools to measure that. Like a standardized test might be used to measure a child's speech or language skills. The goal is not to get a high score on a test. The goal is not to wear a certain number, sorry, to weigh a certain number on scale. The goal is to get better at speech. The number of stickers that the sticker chart did not make my students' life better. The number on the scale does not make my life better. You make your life better by the quality of how you are shifting your habits and the way you live your life. Was that not brilliant? Yay for Julie. All right. And if anybody else has amazing analogies, you know I love some analogies, send them my way. Okay. We're going to bring up Kimberly for coaching. And she's the only one who's raised her hand so far. So I want some more hands raised. Come on, everybody. Otherwise, we're going to put you in speech class. But I bet if we were in speech class with teacher Julie, we'd all get a bunch of stickers. And we would improve our lives by learning better speech. Because it's not about the number on the scale. All right, Kimberly, how you doing? I think you've unmuted. Hi.
Perfect. There we go. So I feel like this is the 222 sign that I was driving and said, "Oh God, it's almost 3 o'clock. Let me pull over so I can talk to someone." So the thing I wanted to ask is, I need something different when my brain says, so the question is two things. One thing is, in the morning, I drink a protein shake and I cannot honestly say that I'm hungry for it. Versus in my mind, I'm telling a story that I need it because I'll bonk out trying to work out. And then I still eat a breakfast after I've worked out. And so I'm concerned that maybe that 150 calories might not seem like a lot, but I don't have that much that I want to try to lose. And I'm thinking that that may be enough to keep me stalled. And then my other thing is that, my salad that I eat for lunch every day, there's a thought that keeps happening saying, it's salad. It's just lettuce. You're going to be hungry in an hour, which I am getting better and I've left some, but I think it might have been you. I was listening to a replay and you or somebody was saying about how, you can't fill up a plate and then say, I'm going to leave two bites behind. And think you're going to make any headway. So I'm all of that swirling in my head of, am I over justifying this protein shake because it's protein, quote unquote? And am I justifying eating the rest of my salad that is nothing but grilled chicken and vegetables? And do I need to tidy that up?
Okay. Love these questions. Thank you. In terms of the breakfast, the protein shake, the reasoning is, am I going to bonk out with my workout? So,
Yes.
what experiments have you done, if any, in regards to working out without the protein shake?
I haven't really, and it really became a thing when I could work out much harder. I had a neck and a back injury last year and had to really, really, really reduce my weightlifting because of that. So now I'm just now getting cleared to do some weights. I can only really walk and really swim. So I don't know that I've not just overestimated how much protein I need in a day. And this is just old leftover. But then when I think about not having it, I think it's only 150 calories and it's protein and you need that. I don't know. I haven't really tried it to answer your question, not doing it.
Well, I'm always a fan of letting your body tell you what she needs. So when you're like, it's only 150 calories, I cannot tell you if your body needs that or not, but your body can tell you. So, what I would encourage you to experiment with, because you get to be the expert on your body, is do you like having some calories in your body before you work out? If that's your preference, amazing. Can you reduce the overall amount that you have and either split it before and after the workout, or try it just before the workout, see how you feel, try it just after the workout, see how you feel, and just experiment with what does your body like best? What are your thoughts on that?
I think I can. I think I can. But then the one thought that comes immediately to my head is just trying to be protein forward and trying to make sure I get enough in a day. And I think I know in my mind that when I have tried to meet a certain macro, all I was doing was eating unnecessarily to meet that macro. So I feel like this feels reminiscent to that maybe I am eating it or take or having it unnecessarily, because in my mind, if I don't, then I might not be getting enough protein.
Sounds like you kind of answered your own question there.
I think I did. I think I did.
I can tell you from my experience, similarly, I like went through all the rules of like the guru says I should have this before I work out, blah, blah, blah,
Yes,
blah, blah.
right.
And I remember like finally I was like, screw it. I'm gonna just do what I want and see what happens. And so
Okay.
I would get up, have a glass of water, and then go work out, fasted exercise. And then I'd be like, how do I feel? And then for a while, I did practice fasting until lunch. And that had some pluses and minuses. I noticed I began to feel an increase in cortisol. And so I was like, okay, my body is telling me that it does want some fuel. Like waiting all the way to lunch, it's not good. And so what basically, long story short, what I've evaluated is my body is fine to work out fasted with a glass of water. And then I have my coffee with protein powder. I have 2 cups, one caffeinated, one decaf. Both have protein powder and then a spoonful of peanut butter, and that's breakfast. And then I have a veggie snack with hummus, like around 10. And like that's what works for this body. But that happened through experimentation of like what works, what doesn't, what does my body like? If you try working out fasted and you end up bonking or you're like, I don't have enough energy, that's such useful information. You can then put your protein shake perhaps before breakfast, excuse me, before the workout, and see, do you need more or less after the workout? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that that's a good plan because the only time that I really, and I think that this is just a justification, the only time I really had the problem with it bonking out was when I could do a HIIT type workout with weights. So it really was crazy hard with a trainer. And I can't, there's just physiologically, I mean, the back and neck surgeon said, absolutely do not do any of that ever again. So, because I'm trying to not have surgery on either segment of my neck or my back, and so he said, absolutely none of that is in your future ever, 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 ever. Do not do that. So, I feel like that's left over, and I'm just justifying it. I really do, and I see you smiling because I know that now that I'm saying out loud that that's what I'm doing. It's the same thing that I hear my brain say when it's, oh well, there's only one blueberry left, or one blackberry left, or one. Whatever, when I know I'm had enough,
And
it's the
it's so
same
good to
thing.
catch your brain in that of like,
Right.
oh, look at my brain
Look at you.
justifying
Yeah. Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And
Definitely.
it's not, nothing's gone wrong. Like that's just your brain trying to, follow some rules.
Yes.
And the beauty of No BS is it's an action framework rather than rules. And so I want to reiterate, like you get to be the expert on your body. And yes, there are gurus out there that say this many macros, blah, 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 blah. But they're not giving you a recommendation based on your one of a kind fingerprint of a body with your
Right.
hormone profile. And this, they're like, I don't know, women of this age, of this, maybe it's not even for women, So I would encourage you to experiment and listen to what your body is telling you. Or, if your doctor is giving you a specific recommendation, follow that after saying, okay, thank you, doctor. Where are you getting your information from? Is it from my unique
Right.
hormone profile or is it because you read it in a magazine somewhere?
Well, his wasn't about the protein, his was about the exercise. So I know
Sure.
that my future of doing the exercise to the level I was doing it, where I felt like I was not going to be able to exercise, and you're right that there's so much mixed message about women working out fasted that it increases cortisol, and I don't need that because I'm already enough inflamed with all this other back stuff. So that's why I started doing it, was thinking, okay, I don't want to do one more thing that makes me inflamed, but I guess I can try not doing it and see what happens.
Yeah, and I am a big fan of like week-long experiments. Like we're not getting married to this. We're just, going on a first date, maybe a second date, see what happens. And so your brain doesn't need to freak out of like we're never having protein powder again. Like I mean, maybe
Right.
let's see what happens.
Well, I mix protein powder in like overnight oats that I have after working out. So it's not like I'm not getting it. And then I have chicken at lunch every day of the week. I have the same thing every day. So I know. And what made me think about this is that maybe this could be why I'm accidentally in maintenance, is because I have implemented that shake, and that maybe I really just don't need it. That this thought that it's this many grams per pound or per kilo is really kind of BS, that it's really not, and that the real answer is, if I'm hungry, I need to eat, and if I'm not, I need to not eat. And frequently I'm not eating, I'm drinking the shake because of some thought that I'm going to not do well if I don't do it.
So good to catch that. And yes, I agree. And I've even had the similar thoughts of like, could just 150 calories really make that much of a difference? And I've shared this on a couple of calls recently that in like October, November, I was at the high end of my maintenance range because of whatever reasons. And I was like, what if I just start leaving a couple bites behind at lunch and dinner? And so I would start to pay attention and I would look at my like had like a quarter of my meal left and I'd be like, how much would I miss these bites? I'm like, eh. And I started to play a game with myself of like, how much of this can I give to the dogs, you know, kind of thing. And I was so surprised that after about 6 weeks, like 3 pounds just like melted away. I was like,
Good.
I had been in my maintenance range for 5 years and suddenly I'm at the low end. I'm like, that was really surprising and not that hard. And so to that point of does 150 calories matter, particularly at maintenance? Actually, yeah, it can.
I think so.
Now, you know, if you cut it out, like don't expect it to make a big difference in a week. Give it a month, give it two. Certainly, I really want you to pay attention to how you feel in your workouts. I want your body to tell you what feels good.
I can already tell you right now, the truth is that I'm not able to work that hard where it's I'm gonna miss it. I can tell you I'm not. Because there are days that I don't have anything and I do perfectly fine.
Okay. Good to know.
I already know the
Yeah.
answer.
And then
I think
similarly
pretty
with your
sure.
salad at lunch, your brain is saying like it's lettuce. It's like air practically.
Right.
No, it's not. Like same thing. If you've had enough, and I'm like you, I have a protein with salad and a hard-boiled egg every day for lunch. And I have absolutely overdone it and eaten to full or past full with salad. Like it is possible. And
Right.
so again, just kind of gently, lovingly catch your brain in that justification and be like, okay, brain, I hear you, but we can still leave salad if we're full or if we're at enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that might work.
Great. And what I would love to know is if you want to experiment for a week, maybe tag me in Facebook, send me a note in like the blue question mark, we'll go to the support and just say,
Okay.
here's the experiment I tried and here's the results I got.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
Perfect.
a thought as well on the workouts. I am not a medical professional at all, but I would agree with what your doctor is saying in terms of like easing up on the HIIT. Like I am absolutely in the same camp as Corinne of like, let's lift some heavy things and let's do some like kind of cardio stuff to keep our heart good. But like the intense HIIT, I think
Yeah.
just jacks up our cortisol
Yeah.
and stresses us out
It's
as
that's been gone for over a year, and that's why I think I've stuck myself in maintenance is because I'm still thinking like I was doing those level of workouts, and that those days are totally done. The days of I can't lift heavy weights at all. I tried to do some very light stuff today and put my neck in a crazy, pain situation that I just can't do. So
Yeah.
I need to keep doing the things I know I can do. And instead of trying to do the stuff I know is going to mess me up, just do the ones I know that I can do, period. But then, that's just hard to do. But
And body weight can absolutely count as resistance if, you know, you just do some squats or put your hand on a chair and do some light lunges, like that can count as resistance training as well. Cool. Great. Anything else, Kimberly?
I think not. I think I'm
Okay.
good.
I'm
Thank
so
you.
glad that you raised your hand. Thank you for the
Thank
divine
you.
timing of the conversation.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a
All
good
right.
day.
Take care. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Good questions. Okay. So I need somebody else to raise their hand. But as we're going through, Rachel asks, how can you tell when your body has increased cortisol? That's a good question. So again, I want you to be the expert on your body. What does stress feel like in your body? I've only experienced this one that I'm in right now, to my knowledge. For me, what that began to feel like was if I was fasting, I would notice around like 10 in the morning, I would get this kind of tension in my chest area, sometimes in my shoulders. And granted, stress can come from lots of different places, certainly my thoughts. But I would begin to notice, and was from Corinne, because Corinne talked about like how fasting is not necessarily showing to be great for females, for women. And so I was like, could that be applying to me? And so when I would notice that tightness in my chest, that kind of like the almost like electricity, like zzz sort of feeling, I'd be like, when was the last time I ate? And so that actually is now one of my hunger signals. I know, so I've got stuff, I have roughly three that I know of. Stomach will growl, and that level of urgency is like, oh, this is fine. This is working. I ate to enough. My body's ready for more. Let's eat within the next hour. So stomach growl is not super urgent. The tension in my chest, shoulders that is related to not eating is like, okay, let's have something in our next opportunity. Like if I'm in a meeting, I can make it, but like, let's not push it to lunch. Like, let's go ahead and have something to, you know, like a spoonful of peanut butter, some veggies, something like that. And then the third one, which happily rarely happens, is like, I feel woozy, like blood sugar drop, and it's like urgent. Eat something immediately. Okay. So we have no hands raised. So I could riff for a few minutes, but I'm going to need somebody to raise their hands or we're going to like wrap this up here pretty quick. I love what Christy said that HIIT training is like the snack wells of working out now. That's so funny. Yes, I remember snack wells, of course. Let's see. Recently quit working out fasted, and I'm seeing that I'm stronger when I do, hence my NOCA on days I lift. Ah, cool. So let's see. I'm trying to think of a topic related to maintenance that I could just riff on. Y'all need to raise your hands. So we've talked about in the maintenance Facebook group a little bit about oh, NOCA is a protein smoothie. Thank you. A little bit about the identity of a maintainer. So there's the identity of someone who's losing weight, which is I'm doing X in order to lose weight. And then the identity of a maintainer is basically a normal eater, which is like I do X because it's just normal. And so what's the difference? And I like to say that the difference between a dieter and a normal eater is that a dieter is following rules or rebelling against the rules, and a normal eater is making choices. So for example, so a normal eater is making choices with logical outcomes. And so examples, you guys have heard me say this before, but I'll repeat it again. Examples of choices with logical outcomes that are not good, not bad, not moral, they're just choices. So let's say I was talking to a client today who went to her son's track meet and it lasted way longer than she thought. And what do you know? It was hot that day, sunburn. So you stay out in the sun longer than you planned. It's a logical outcome that your skin will be red and a little sensitive. Let's say you stay up later than you normally do. It's a logical outcome that you're going to be tired the next day. Let's say you lift weights. It's a logical outcome that you're going to be sore and you know, the skin might be up just a smidge the next day because you got some inflammation. That's normal. It's not good, it's not bad. It's just a logical outcome. And so a normal eater will look at like dessert tonight. Do I want to have birthday cake with, you know, celebrating my daughter's birthday? I'm going to go ahead and make that choice. Like, yeah, it's worth it to me to celebrate my daughter's birthday. And a logical outcome might be the scale's up tomorrow. But you know what? I love my reasons and I'm, you know, moving on, getting back to normal. The difference as well is like in the morality of it. And so we, you know, a normal eater doesn't make it good or bad that they chose the cake. It was more like, it's a choice. I liked my reasons and you know, it was delicious or it wasn't, and we're moving on. You also can make a choice and not like your reasons and be like, oh, I didn't love that, but now I'm moving on. I don't have to wallow in shame. I don't have to be like, why do I always do this to myself? I can be like, okay, that was a helpful reminder that before I go out with the girls, I need to be a little bit more intentional about the chips and salsa instead of just eating them mindlessly. Good reminder. next time I go out, I'm gonna like pay attention to and like plan ahead for how much chips and salsa I'm gonna have. Something like that. Also, like again, the idea of like a dieter is following rules or rebelling against the rules. A normal eater is making a choice. A different client, still no hands raised, by the way, y'all. I've only got so much I can riff on. A different client I was talking to today, she said that she went out with friends and ordered a sandwich and a side soup. And she was like, honestly, it was terrible. Like the bread was dry, the stuffing inside the bread was like too salty, the soup tasted disgusting. And she's like, and so I just sort of nibbled on it and I sent it back. And like, I just didn't want it. Later on, the next day, she made something at home that was like 11 out of 10 on a scale of amazingness. And she's like, and I ate it and I loved it and it was amazing. And I got right back to normal the next day. I was like, yes, normal eaters. And so, like, a dieter could be like, I'm ordering the sandwich. This is bad, or like, ooh, carbs, or whatever, and decide that they have to eat the sandwich because just they ordered it, rather than this doesn't taste good. Do I want it? And so you can kind of ask those questions of like, what do I actually want? And that brings me to also a made up rule that, or not rule, a tool that I made up that seems to be useful is, for those foods that are, you know, going to have a logical outcome on the scale tomorrow that may have it be going up a little bit, you can use the tool called seven or better. It's basically the velvet rope idea. But like on a scale of 1 to 10, this birthday cake is where on my personal unique scale of 1 to 10. So 1 is not very good. I could totally pass on it. 10 is amazing. I would love my reasons every time. For me personally, birthday cake is kind of eh, it's okay. It's you know, it's not exciting. Cookies, on the other hand, I mean, it's got to be a good cookie, but they're more exciting. And so you could do that with the bread of the sandwich. Is this bread artisanal and like homemade and a 10 out of 10? If so, yeah, enjoy it, love it. If it's a 3, why are you eating it? That kind of thing. So 7 or better, between 6 and 7 is kind of a great demarcation line of like, if it's 7 or above, you're probably going to be pretty happy you had it. If it's 6 or below, it's like, why am I eating this? Okay, so we've got somebody said, I would love to know more about why our brains sometimes struggle to make new rules for ourselves. We can follow ones made for us, but struggle to follow our own. Oh, that's an interesting question. Why is it easier for us to follow rules that somebody else made versus our own? That is a great point. And my hypotheses to that would be we are trained from very early on to follow the rules, to be a good little girl and sit in our chair and be seen and not heard. And so we're trained to obey authority, or at least respect authority. And so when a rule comes from outside of us, we automatically assign it authority, whether it's from a doctor, a diet, a guru, or whatever. They're like, well, they must know what they're talking about because I don't, clearly. Like, I'm the one trying to lose weight. I'm trying to figure out how to do this. So if somebody told me I need to have, you know, 130 grams of protein, okay, let's follow it. They must know more than I do because we were taught that our whole lives. And that I think is one of the keys to switching towards becoming a normal eater is deciding I get to freaking make the rules for my life. This is me. It's my body. I get to be the expert on my body. And so I get to decide, does eating all of my salad actually lead me to weight loss? Does it actually feel good in my body? And so I can, you know, listen to what experts say, but not a single expert out there has ever lived in your body. You are the one of a kind expert on your body. And so that is why I would guess we tend to put more emphasis on rules outside of ourselves. Just checking up on the chat here. Christy's brain wants to call that seven up. Nice, Shelly. Good to see you here too, as well. Shelly said that the seven or better method had her not eating cookies about 30 minutes ago because it was not worth it. That's right. We are not trained to make our own rules. Respect authority. Be good. And I would love for you to begin to say, like, I am the authority on me. I get to make up my own rules for myself. It's very empowering. All right. Amazing. We've got some people who have raised their hands. Thank you so much. We got Wanda, I believe, is coming up, and Darlene. So we'll have Wanda first and then Darlene. Thank you for raising your hands, everybody. I think Wanda's coming. Maybe? What happened? Oh, let's try this again. Wanda, I'm trying to promote you. There we go. Awesome. Hi.
I didn't raise my hand because I didn't know I could. I thought it was just for maintenance people.
Oh my gosh. Well, I at the beginning of the call, I was like, I want everyone in maintenance to come and just listen and soak in the mindset. So I don't care if you have 2 pounds to lose or 200, like, everyone is welcome.
Okay. Well, obviously I'm not in maintenance. I released 170.6 pounds, and the 0.6 makes a big difference
Yes.
because that's new territory for me. Because I had released 170 pounds, and then I gained back 159 of it. So that's amazing. Just in the last 2 weeks, that's when I crossed over to the 170.6.
Oh, congratulations.
What I wanted to ask was just figuring out. I really don't know, because this is all new territory for me as far as when should I decide to choose a maintenance weight, and at what point do I decide that? Do you like do I should I wait till I get further along in my journey, or should I be thinking about that now?
Great question. I love that you're asking this. So I would
And I don't know why my
always
video is not on as opposed to that avatar. Sorry.
it's okay. I don't know where the controls are on a phone, but the avatar's
Oh,
cute.
there
There you are.
you
Hello.
go.
So I definitely love the idea of thinking about maintenance, even if you're still wanting to lose more weight, because again, it's a change in thinking. So to your question of like, how do I know when I want to kind of pause and be in maintenance for a little bit? There's obviously the number on the scale, but there's also the lifestyle that you want to live. And so as you're losing weight, I would encourage you to be like, okay, I'm living my life this way now, making the choices I'm making. Are there any level ups I could be okay with? Or do I want to sort of cruise at this level of lifestyle for now? And give it a go and see how that feels. And so I would, we've all got a number out there, which again is like probably the number you were when, I don't know, when you were 20. That number is kind of like plucked out of the air. I would put more emphasis on the lifestyle that you are happy with, that you're comfortable in, because I never want you to diet again. I want you to live in a way that you can lose your weight and live at that lower weight. So, what are your thoughts on that?
A lot of thoughts come up as far as I know that I like to eat. And I know that what I'm eating now is for the weight that I'm at now. And I have thoughts about, okay, when I get to, I'm saying 150, that was, and that's real right. That was like what I was, back 40, probably 40 years ago. I don't know if I could, if I really, I'm probably my BMI probably say that that's probably around the weight, but I'm 62. Now, and I don't know if I should be that weight. And I know that I won't be able to eat the quantity of food that I'm eating at that weight. So I have a lot of thoughts about that also.
Yeah. And so I would encourage you to be really gentle with your brain, because the more you push, the more your brain is like, no, scary resistance, So I would say, okay, we're eating XYZ amount now, and that feels good. I feel like I could continue doing this. And if the answer is actually, I don't feel like I continue doing this, That's really good to know as well. You know, anybody who's listening, if you're like, I'm doing what I'm doing now, but I can't see myself still doing it, please write to me and ask coaches. Let's talk you through it. But so, with what you're eating right now, do you feel like you want to kind of cruise at this for a little while, or do you feel like I could make some level ups here and there, but they're little?
Yeah, I definitely could make some level ups. And then also too, the workout too. 'Cause right now I'm working out like probably two to 2.5 hours a day. And I don't know if I'll be able to continue to just stay there or would I have to do more, when I get smaller.
I am at my lowest weight from in a long time, and I work out like max of 30 minutes a day.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not your trainer. I've definitely like take the advice of your trainer and so forth, but I would encourage you to question the idea that you need to work out more.
Okay. No, nobody's told me that. But I mean, the stuff that I do, I feel like it's not really that significant. I mean, I swim for an hour. That's really not taxing on my body. And then I do the hand bike for 30 minutes. And I do the stationary bike for 30 minutes. So that's the 2 hours. And then if I throw in strength training, then that might add on another 15, 20 minutes or so.
Okay. Now that is interesting. Perhaps a question to talk to your trainer about is like the type of exercise you're doing. Like I would say 50 to 60% of my workouts are strength based, if not even more. So I'm not necessarily working out for a long time, but I'm doing things that build my muscles or
Okay.
maintain my muscles. And so, ask your trainer perhaps of like, how can I work out for less time, but get more kind of bang for my buck in terms of like muscle strength and that type of thing.
Okay.
But let's go back to the amount you're eating. You said there could be some little level ups here and there. Tell me a little bit about that.
Like your previous caller said, I do the same thing. And drink a protein shake in the morning before I work out. And I'm not, well, I've coached with you before, so I don't get hungry. So, before I eat most of my meals, I don't get hungry. Now, since I've had the weight loss surgery, I do have periods when I know I've had enough, or before I'm full, I can tell when I've had enough. So I'm grateful for that because I didn't even. Before that, before the weight loss surgery, I didn't have that aspect also on a consistent basis. But like as far as the protein shake, I have the protein shake in the morning, and my mind is okay. I'm gonna go work out for 2.5 hours, even though I don't get hungry for it, and I really don't feel like my exercising is strenuous as I just laid it out to you. But I still have it generally in the morning, so I probably could level as you were talking with her as far as investigating. I haven't investigated whether working out without it to see how I feel. I probably need to do that little experiment that you mentioned.
Perhaps, and just for the record, like I'm not recommending fasted exercise. I'm saying experiment and test it out with your body. So you get to be the expert on you.
Yeah. So I can definitely level up as far as that. Then I have a breakfast that's, it could be hearty. I make veggie frittatas with 2 eggs, a serving of cheese, and then it has tons of vegetables in it that I don't weigh or measure the vegetables. And I have like a kielbasa sausage with that. That's my breakfast. And then generally I have a salad for lunch with some type of protein. And then, my salad is not just like what she was mentioning, just, salad, lettuce, and protein. I know I definitely could level up on the stuff that I put in the salad, like the toppings that I put on it, which that adds some calories, like sunflower seeds, fried onions, sometimes raisins. I do weigh and measure those things, but those add calories. And then I have a lot of fruit, and I don't
Okay.
count the fruit.
Yeah.
So I definitely could level up with the fruit, as far as not having so much fruit between meals.
I think it's interesting when you mention the stuff you put on your salad. I used to put shredded cheese on my salad, and I kind of did the seven or better test. I was like, does this shredded cheese like really add something amazing to my taste? And I was like, I barely even taste it. And so taking it off, I was like, I don't miss it. you know,
Yeah, I have
in case
shredded
like,
cheese in my salad every salad that I make.
and if it's like my salad would be absolutely terrible without it, keep it. But if you're like, I don't know, I mean, it would, when I wouldn't miss it that much. Like, then you could just question. Same thing with the raisins or the sunflower seeds. Like, how much would you miss it? And this isn't about like, you know, stripping down, you know, your food until like you're eating. I think I remember once someone saying like, you know, an olive and a raisin for dinner. Like, we're not getting to that point. We're just looking at like what makes a difference to you and what doesn't. And if it doesn't make a huge difference to you, do you need it?
Yeah, and then the salad dressing, I was weighing and measuring that, but I gotten out of the habit of weighing and measuring it. Although I did weigh and measured it today. But generally I was eyeballing it. And then it's not even like strictly like the skinny girl, I think that's the brand, skinny girl salad dressing. I really like that. Those are only like 5 or 10 calories per serving, but I tend to what I have a plentiful of are the Ken dressings, you know what y'all talking about? Anyhow, it's light, but they're like 80 calories per serving, you know. And so even though that's light, but that's still, you know, amount. So I don't you know I don't I, and I'm not always consistent about weighing and measuring. So that's definitely a area that, another area I could level up.
I would say like you could, if you're like, I love weighing and measuring, it makes me feel confident that I'm doing the right thing. Sure, go for it. But I would more encourage you to just be like, what does my body need? So let's go, like, for example, your breakfast, two eggs and a sausage. And I think that's what you said.
And, you know, got cheese in it too, and the
Does the cheese make it amazing?
Yeah,
Or
I
like,
have
would
to have the
you,
cheese.
you have to, okay, you have to have the cheese. Great. Same thing. So like sausage, is this, you gotta have the sausage. And if so, okay, can you have half of it with the egg? Do you need, you know, and so, or even just make the normal stuff and like, do I need these last three bites? Would I miss them? And also I would encourage you to be like, why does my brain want more? And so I, you know, again, you get to decide if you're good with your lifestyle and the amount that you're eating, and you want to coast for a little bit, and coast means do the same thing, not lighten up. But if you're like, I want to level up, ask yourself, why does my brain want to resist this? What does my brain think it's getting from these last three bites of my breakfast or these last three bites of my lunch?
Yeah, I started like maybe a month ago. Started like just eating till when I was satisfied, which is sometimes, you know, the veggie, I mean the frittata is like the size of a personal pizza, you know, because I make them in the little small frying pans, and I would get to like half of it, and then it's like, okay, I really had enough, but then I got half of it, and I'm portioned, this is portioned out, you know, I'm measuring the cheese, I'm only had two eggs, and you know, I had a lot of thoughts about leaving it behind. Then I was like, all right, convince myself to put it in the refrigerator and I could come back to it later, which, you know, most times, majority of times I didn't come back to it, so I end up just putting it in the garbage disposal. And I've been doing that pretty much for the most part. But I feel like I'm wasting a lot of food though, you know, as opposed to, I don't know, I feel like I'm wasting.
Okay. And what's the problem with that?
It's already portioned out because I'm only having two eggs, one serving. I measure the cheese that I put on there, weigh it, and you know, and the vegetables, which I don't count. So it's already portioned out, you know.
Okay. I'm not sure how that makes it better to not.
It's just in my head.
Yeah. Okay. So again, going back to the idea of like, we have these rules in our head, like don't waste food. Most of us heard that clean your plate, you know, starving children type of thing. And that was a rule given to us by an authority figure of some sort in our lives. And you get to now, as a grown ass, no BS woman, make your own rules and decide that you get to be the expert on your body. And if you want to throw away food because your body doesn't need it, you're allowed. And if your brain is like, but it's wasting, and be like, what's the problem with that?
Yeah,
Just
you're
be
right.
curious.
You're right.
I'm so glad you raised your hand, Wanda. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anything else that you wanted us to talk about?
No, that's been great.
Okay.
I'm gonna follow the advice and let my body be the god of how I proceed.
And when your brain wants to override your body, that's not a problem. It's a signal to just get curious and be like, well, what's going on? What does my brain think it needs?
Great. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Great to see you. You look amazing. All right. In the chat, Ruth was asking for a friend. How do you deal with food pushing after you're in maintenance, saying no to people who want you to eat more? So to your friend, Ruth, wink, wink. First of all, like when people want you to eat more, that's saying more about them than it does about you. So, it kind of depends on the context, but if someone's asking you to eat more, what do you think could be the reason? Are they like, I made this for you, it's special? If so, like use MJ's amazing tool, which is like, I am so grateful that you made this for me, but I'm not hungry right now. Can we wrap it up and can I have it later? If it's more just like you're at a restaurant and someone's saying, you gotta eat that, that's just, their own social rules that they got from whatever authority figure in their life. And maybe they're feeling weird that they're finishing their plate when you're not. And I do remember a call once where Corinne was like, if someone's really pushing you, you can really take it to DEFCON 5 and be like, listen, I'm gonna have explosive diarrhea if I eat this. So no thanks. So, if you take it to the awkward, they're gonna stop asking. So that is an option as well. So hi, Darlene. Thanks so much for raising your hand.
Busy. Well, I had a panic moment. Like, I don't want the maintenance calls to end. So it's like,
I'm so glad.
if
Me
you might
too.
need an OBS, it's like, I'll do it today for the team.
And I have seen your name all kinds of different places, so I'm so glad to put a face to the name.
Well, we've talked before, and I don't expect to remember, but I always say this is getting my money's worth in OBS, but I
Excellent.
love it. And so here I am. Anyway, so what I was thinking about in my maintenance journey, and I've been in maintenance now, I don't know exactly. I think I should know, but I don't remember. But it's way over a year. And I was kind of in maintenance, but I didn't like admit it to myself. So I still count kind of that too. But so I'm at a function which is now over, but we're full-time RVers. So we're in our RV and we were, having potlucks and doing all the food stuff, and everybody's drinking, which that's not a problem for me. I don't really drink, so that didn't bother me. But I was busy and we were hosting somebody in our RV, and I was had intentions of doing my plan, and I never miss my plan, almost never. And I had good intentions of doing it, but I just didn't take the time to. And I kind of in my brain thought, well, I'm going to do this and this, and I have no idea for dinner, but whatever. So I didn't do it. And I remember MJ talking about she was taking a snack because she was on medicine for a short time and she was surprised at how quickly, having that snack where she wasn't before, just till this medicine was, ran its course, that she was going to go back to her old way, but how quickly that pattern took hold. And I was like, wow, I think it was 4 consecutive days I didn't do it. And every day I had great intentions. So I told myself, okay, my friend's leaving and we're going to be sort of back in the routine. Although we're still at the facility, but everything's over, but we're still have friends around and stuff. But it's like the reason I can't do it. So I did it. And I am at my high end of my range. And I talked to MJ quite a bit right before her mother passed. We were communicating pretty often, but still haven't been able to get lower in my range, and I'm trying not to obsess about it, but I'm still so curious of why. I just think that, like, leveling up, like you were talking about the salads, leveling up my salad. I'm like, what did I just put in my salad the last 2 days that maybe I shouldn't have? And the whole cheese thing, I did that before. It's like you don't even notice when you take it out, but I still been putting it in. But just, I guess, some of your thoughts. Like, I wanted to mention that whole thing about how, the whole planning thing, which I didn't get that away from the habit to not do it, but I'm still kind of working on trying to figure out. I guess I'm just still overeating a little bit, and I get very frustrated with my husband because he is very sedentary, and he's still overeating. It feels like he must, but he doesn't lose weight. I don't know. He has his own issues, so I'm trying not to worry about him. But if he eats sometimes, I just have to leave the room and I don't even say anything because I can't stand the sound of it. It just drives me crazy. I forget what that's called. But anyway, so I'm just still trying to figure out what I can tweak that, and I can't figure out what I was doing differently when it was so easy before. And it's still easy to maintain. Like, maintaining is like super easy. The scale did go up a little bit, but now it's started to go down again today. I weigh myself every day and I don't really have scale drama because I do it every day. So I know the ups and downs, but just wanted to see if any other thoughts you might have, Lizzie, on what I could be
Okay.
doing differently.
So, just to make sure I'm understanding kind of what you're looking for, you kind of got out of planning a little bit because you had guests in town, but you're working on getting that back into your routine, but it's more that you're a little bit higher in your maintenance range and you're like, what little tweaks can I do to get a little bit more in the middle or lower? Is that what I'm
And
hearing?
I've been here for, I mean, a long time, probably way over 6, 8 months. I've been at this higher end and
Okay.
playing around with different things, but it might go down a little bit, but it'll just go right back up again. And I always thought when people had like a 3 pound range was in their maintenance, I'm like, oh my gosh, how could you do that? But I literally stay between, I have all my numbers right here. You can't see it. I literally stay between 36 and 38, 138. And then it went up 38 something, and now it's back to 37. But I'd like to be like 31, 32, even less. I wouldn't care. It's,
So, how often are you stopping at enough?
well, I feel like I do pretty well with it. And I hear myself say, yep, there you are. And then I find myself, like they always talk about what people do. Well, I hear myself say it. Then I feel like I eat a few more bites and I do it real quick. Like I'm not going to see myself do it. I eat it really quick. And then I say, okay. And the other day, this whole salad, everybody's talking about salad, but I had a salad and I'm like, I know it's salad, but you really should stop now. And so I ate a few more bites and then I stopped and put it away. And then today I zhuzhed up a leftover salad from a restaurant. So I was like, well, I'll just zhuzh it up again. And so I, added the egg and the chicken and blah, blah, blah to it. And so I tried to make it smaller. So I did finish it today, but it's like, I don't know. I just think it, like Wanda was saying, it's just such a, and she looks fantastic, Wanda,
Yes.
from when I first seen Wanda, beautiful. And so I just feel like there must be little tweaks here and there that I could do. Like I said, leaving the cheese off, I wouldn't care. But I put it on
So
for whatever reason.
I'd love to offer you a thought and let me know how this lands. So, earlier in the call, I talked about how I was higher in my maintenance range and then, started leaving a couple of bites behind. And what shifted in my thinking there was like when I was higher in my maintenance range, I was like, I am eating to enough. Like I'm never eating to full or past full or so forth. Like not never, but rarely.
Very rarely.
And so instead of being like, this is how much I normally eat, what? It's I started to be like, what would happen if I just left a few bites? Would I miss it? And so instead of asking myself, am I at enough? I would ask myself, would I miss these bites? And so it was, again, I'm not making any rules for myself. I'm taking this idea out on a date, not marrying into it. I'm just saying, with these last few bites on my plate, how much would I miss them? Let's just see. And as I experimented, I never missed the bites. I did begin to find, particularly between lunch and dinner, sometimes I would get hungry a little bit earlier. But again, going back to my, this body's hunger cues, like it was a stomach growl. And so that was not super urgent. It was like, oh, good to know. I ate to enough. My body's ready for more. So the thought shift I'm, inviting you to just explore is instead of, am I at enough? Ask yourself as you're closing in on finishing up the plate, be like, how much would I miss these bites? And if you're like, I don't know, experiment. Leave them. See what happens.
Yeah, I was doing that because MJ suggested I do that or do the halftime, and I was doing it for a while. And I'm like, geez, how long am I going to keep doing this? And it didn't really feel like it made that huge of a difference. Like it would go down a little bit, but then the scale would go back up again. Just life stuff. But I just don't know if I'm missing something from what I did before. And I'll have, like, everybody was talking about exercise. I have a month where I exercise like crazy just because there's something fun I do because we're at this certain campground that does it. Then we move on and now we're not doing it. Doesn't seem to make a difference at all.
Okay. I tell you what. I have a invitation for you, darling. If you want to write down your plans and assess, so tell me what you plan to eat, what you did actually eat for a week, collect them, take a picture, send them to me in the support, so like the little blue question mark, and be like, "Attention, Lizzie, here's a week of my plans and my assessments. What do you see?" And we'll say, how does that sound?
I could do that because that is one thing I've never done was actually send in an actual plan of what I'm actually eating and having somebody else look at it. I've never
And
done that in my whole.
a week is a decent amount of time to get kind of a picture. And it also kind of can help you assess yourself if you're like, okay, at the end of this week, I'm going to send these to Lizzie. What's she going to be looking at? You're going to be paying a little bit more attention as well. So we could just experiment with that and see what we find out. What do you say?
That's the first thing I was thinking. It's like, well, am I going to do real life? Send these plans to me. Am I going to do fake life? And it's like, okay, this is what. So it's
No
like,
dieting. This is what you actually want to eat.
maybe I should send it to you from what I've done last couple weeks, if I could, because I've done that too. But
If you have them, yeah.
yeah, like I said, I'm really faithful doing plans. I actually like doing plans. I don't have any problems with it. It's just when I am busy, which is, rare that I can't do it in my RV life because we're retired and but it
Do
was a
you
busy
assess?
weekend. Well, I tried to and I started doing the thing where I took some of the different plans and I kind of morphed it into, okay, I like this part of this plan and I'm gonna put that in my plan. And then I like this part of, so I kind of morphed it all together and I put actually two on one page to try to. So I actually, you write down, was I hungry? Did I stop at enough? So I put that on my plan. So I do a habit tracker every day with there's like nine things on there. So I'm pretty good at doing all that. And then I told myself this morning, I didn't even think about filling in my habit tracker, even though I didn't write a plan. Like, why didn't it ever even dawn on me to do that? Because I was going to do that when I went on my cruise. I was the one I think we talked about going on a cruise
Oh, right.
when they last the
So,
cruise.
how would you feel about that for the next week? Just
No,
plan
that's
and
fine. That's
assess.
because I've never
And
done it.
okay, and we'll do an experiment and we'll see what happens. All right. So today is Sunday the 22nd. What is next Sunday the 28th? So a week from now, you want to send me a week worth of plans?
Might be a week and a day because we move on the 28th.
Okay.
We're going to the RV campground where I exercise and I love the fun. We line dance and do walk fit and so I love doing that like obsessively.
Awesome.
So
That's
it
fun.
might take me a week and a day.
Okay. I can roll with that. And then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks, Darlene.
Thank you, Lizzie, and bye, ladies of No BS.
Yes. And enjoy the rest of your week where you currently are, and safe travels next Sunday.
Thank you so much.
All right, good to see you. Talk to you soon. Bye. All right, we got a couple of questions in the chat and the Q&A. So let's see. Janie asks, what if you do miss those extra bites? Great question. If you do miss them, like that's your body telling you we're still hungry. We wanted, that more fuel. And so like that tells you that the amount of food that you served was probably the right amount, was, eating to enough. And I thought I saw. Okay, so Robin says I'm in maintenance, 187 to 192, and still wanting to lose weight. I chose to stick to a certain weight range for a few months because I was burned out. It's time to lose another 15 to 20 pounds. Okay, so good point, Robin. And first of all, I love that you were like, I was feeling burned out. So, you kind of cruise for a little bit. And again, cruising means like you keep doing what you're doing, you're not trying to make any more changes. Love that. And if you're ever feeling burned out, that is not a problem. That's a signal. That's a great time for you to write in to ask coaches and be like, I'm feeling burned out. Help me figure out the thoughts that are making it hard for me. I was talking to a client earlier who had regained, and she was like, you know, it just felt so hard. And I was like, well, let's look at that. Because as I thought, what is the thought that makes whatever you're doing feel hard? And we can examine it. So, Robin, you're wanting to lose another 15 to 20 pounds. First of all, are you feeling more steady, like less burned out? And if so, then like what's a little level up that you could begin to play with? Whether that's like leaving some cheese off of your eggs or leaving two, three bites behind at lunch or dinner. It's asking instead of, am I enough? Ask, would I miss this? See what happens. And just again, to Janie's question, if the answer is I did miss it because I was hungry later, my stomach was growling, that's so good to know. And also, of course, you can write into me and ask coaches, and we can address that too. Let's see. It feels like somebody named Kathy's got an interesting one. Okay. With no emotional outlets as an option, how can I stop emotional eating? No emotional outlets as an option. I would be curious to know what you mean by that. But since I'm not sure exactly, emotional eating, just like everything else, it's not a problem. It's a signal. It's your body saying we have a need here, and we think food is one way to do it. So what is the need? Is the need for rest? Is it the need for connection, comfort? You know, a mixture, to try and address boredom. And so you're trying to look at like, what is my body asking me for? Or if you're just like, I'm feeling all of the things and it's too much, that's like your body's looking for regulation. And so I would want to have a deeper conversation with you on that, Kathy, to see, like, just to give me a little bit more context before I just like toss out a tool or, address it with this or that, because I want to get a little bit more context on what's going on. But in general, I would say if you are eating emotionally, you want to ask why? What does my body need? And so, whatever the answer is, then you can explore some ways to do that. And so, just for the record, we're not going from like I use 100% food and 0% nothing else to switching it. So, it's like I'm using 0% food and 100% something else. We want to gradually adjust it. So, like, if you're used to using 100% food for handling your emotions and 0% something else, let's go. We're going to use food 90% of the time, and 10% of the time, we're going to use that feelings tool that Lizzie gave me, which is I'm allowed to feel this. I don't have to fix it. Big breath and move on. And then we can eat. So, like, we're just adjusting it just a little so that your nervous system doesn't freak out. Okay, Q&A. A while back, Darlene asked, talk about how quickly your brain goes back to what we used to do. And so she was talking about with the plan and so forth. So our brain goes back to what we used to do because the brain is very good at what is familiar, because what is familiar feels safe. And so you can be creating it. I like to talk about it as like subway tracks. So, in New York City, there's subways all over the place. And when the Department of Transportation creates a new subway line and they say, we're shutting down the red line, we're moving it over to the blue line, that blue line is nice and swanky. But the red line didn't go away. It just got shut off. It's still there, it's just gathering dust. And the neural pathways in your brain are very similar. That old habit is still wired, and there literally is like a tunnel because there's myelin around your neurons. So it's still there. It's just, not being used as often. Whereas this new pathway, this new habit you're working on is getting a little bit more action. However, when you get into fight or flight, when something activates you, or even if it's good, like we've got guests in town, this is fun, but it's different. And your brain's like, different is bad. Alert, alert. We want to feel safe. What feels safe is that old pattern. So it is not a problem. It's just a signal that your brain is in a little bit activated, a little bit out of its comfort zone, and it's looking for something to feel safe. And if you notice that, then you can be like, oh, I just need to remind myself it's safe. This is really fun that we've got friends in town, but different. It's normal that my brain would want to go back to something, an old pattern. I don't have, it's not a like prophecy that I'm just like sliding back into old things. It's more like, oh, I noticed it. Let's create some safety and let's get back to normal. with what I my new habits. Okay. And then it looks like Kathy also asked the question in the chat about emotional outlets available. So, Kathy, I would definitely encourage you to please send me a message and ask coaches so that we can get a little bit more detail on what specifically is going on and we can address it there. So, thanks everyone for joining me for the maintenance call. Anyone, no matter what your weight is, how much weight you want to lose, anyone is welcome to join the maintenance Facebook group so you can listen to the live, so we can talk about, you can hear about like the maintenance mindset, identity, maintenance pitfalls, where if you're in there, you've been noticing me kind of taking out the new content out for a spin, trying it out. So grateful for you all. Thank you for being here today and have a marvelous 2-2-2. Yeah, divine timing and all that. Take care. Bye.